Hi everybody, today we are going to talk about human capital. A very important part of human capital is how do we look at this whole concept itself. Can we say humans can be used as human capital? Let's look at this concept a little more deeply. We all understand the means of financial capital, but why do organizations also treat humans as capital in a more humane way? So essentially, any human capital, what does it mean? It means it is the collective resources possessed by any organization in terms of individual or group in any given population. It encompasses the knowledge, talent, skills, wisdom, judgment, training, intelligent, whatever these people, so this set of people have individually and collective, it's the collection of all these factors together which represent the human capital for that group, that organization, that country or that nation. It is a form of wealth. It is any kind of skill, knowledge, intelligence is taken as a form of wealth, and through that organizations accomplish their goals. So what does human capital actually do? Okay, it is more or less available to generate material wealth for any economy or business. When people work, when they use their intelligence, when they use their skills, they do something for their organizations. They generate something out of their knowledge, out of their skills, out of the information that they have, out of the wisdom that they have, out of the intelligence that they have. They generate something for the organization. In turn, they generate something for the nation. They generate something for the economy. They generate something for the country. Right? So this is how a human capital provides for the welfare of the society in general. And hence, it's very important to see how does a human capital is developed, or how any human capital is developed and managed in an organization or in the country. And effectively, how does it determine the economic and organization performance? How a set of people will work in an organization, how an individual will work in an organization, will determine the output that he gives in an organization. Based on his output, the organization will perform. Based on the organization performance, the organization will profit or gain. In turn, the organization or the company will do something for the society. So it's like a cycle which is a part of an overall economy, and humans play a very, very important role in this whole process. Though you cannot really put a human capital in any balance sheet, you know, in the balance sheet you would put say your office space is the capital that you have. Let's assume you have an organization has some cash reserves. That is the capital. It can say that it has got some money, it has got some land, it has got machinery. There are so many factors that it would probably take into account while it is forming its balance sheet. Can human capital also become a part of balance sheet? Well, though any humans do bring a lot of economic value to the organization, it brings a lot of value to the company, it provides its services to the company, it brings in its knowledge to the company, it helps in creating new products, it innovates along with the organization, it brings and in turn, by doing all this, it does bring value to the organization, and hence definitely it is a capital which an organization should be proud about. So the economic value bought by any human capital will make a company successful or put it in losses. What are some of the examples of human capital? Knowledge. For example, I come with a knowledge for last 20 years. I am working in the field of HR. I bring the knowledge of HR to my organization. I bring the knowledge or the wisdom of how to deal with people. I bring the knowledge of people practices to the organization. I bring knowledges of various HR related processes to the organization. So there is a lot of knowledge that I'm holding as an HR professional, which is worthy to my organization. So most important example of what I am bringing as a human to my organization is my knowledge. So any of my vocational skills, my degrees, my experience, knowledge that I have of various situations that I have handled, my intelligence, my soft skills, my communication skills, my interpersonal skills are all that I'm bringing to my organizations, right? So that is more about the knowledge that I'm bringing as an HR professional. Similarly, it would be for other people who are bringing their set of knowledge. A marketing head might bring information related to marketing. A branding person will bring information or knowledge related to branding for the organization. A lathe operator, very simple, a lathe operator would bring knowledge about how to operate a lathe machine in a manufacturing organization, right? So different people with their skills and knowledge and wisdom in the areas that they are working bring a certain kind of capital to an organization. Similarly, let's assume there is a project manager. He would bring skills like negotiation, prioritizing, he'll set goals, he would plan, he would delegate, he would manage the budgets of the team, he would do his manpower planning, he will do his project planning. There are a lot of things. He will negotiate with his vendors, he will communicate with his clients and communicate with the customers. A project manager will bring a host of skills for the area that he is working on or the role that he is playing, right? Similarly, a project manager could have soft skills. Though he needs hard skills, he also needs some set of soft skills. Soft skills could be skills like leadership, managing conflicts, adaptability, resilience, managing teams, influencing teams, negotiating the various situations within the team, managing interpersonal relationships with other departments. So these are some of the soft skills a project manager would bring to a project that he is handling. He would probably be more a proactive person. He'll be able to see what's going to happen in terms of planning for the project. He would be strategic in the way he handles all his accounts. So his personality is a part of the project. He brings a lot of part of his personality. He could be an emotional person or he could be an aggressive person. He could be a soft person or he would be a very dedicated person. So a lot of personality traits a project manager could bring. And that's also part of his being as a human being. It is part of his being which he brings to his work, to his project and to the organization. And generally, so what we would look at is the overall knowledge, skills that different employers might find useful for the kind of organization that they are. So first, if I am a financial accounting firm, I would require people who have information, knowledge, skills, qualifications in accounting. Okay, I go and hire accountants. I would go and hire people who have done their chartered accountancy. I would look at people who have finished their graduation in commerce, or people who have got work experience working as accountants. I would look at people who are, let's assume I'm an advertising firm, and if I'm looking at them, I would look at people who are come from advertising field, who have knowledge of advertising, who have got advertising degrees, who have worked in those kind of organization, who are lively from personality perspective, vibrant, innovative, creative. So every kind of an industry requires different kind of knowledge and different kind of different kind of people. Essentially, it is this human capital which is sought after by organizations to make their organization successful in their particular area or the areas that they are working on. Specific, if skills that only one employer might be interested, say for example, particular employer is using a particular technology or is a manufacturer of a specific equipment. Let's take a manufacturer of a medical equipment company, right? He will want people who understand that technology of making medical equipments. He would probably look at people who have got a degree in degree which say instrumentation engineer. So if the instrumentation, if he has taken a degree in instrumentation and he has also specialized in making instruments in the medical fraternity, I would as a medical equipment manufacturer, I would look at people who have that specific expertise. Okay, so such organizations would only look at people who have got specific skills and who have interest in working in that specific kind of area. So it's very proprietary to that particular industry or that particular organization. Let's take another example, let's take a medical fraternity example, somebody who's making artificial limbs, okay? So there would, this organization would look at people who have got very particular specific knowledge about artificial limbs, how they work. They would probably have doctors as consultants, they would have orthopedics as consultants to really understand, who would be consulting their people who make limbs, right? So very, very specific, certain industries have very specific set of people that are required, and this kind of capital is very specific to the area that the organization is focusing on. So similarly, there would be other industries, a lot of different industries who look at different kind of skill sets and different kind of human capital for them to be successful in the areas that they are working on. Now, what are some of the constituents of any human capital? There is intellectual, social, and organizational. Let's look at these three factors. What is intellectual capital? It is broadly something, it's a collection of informational resources a company has at its disposal that it can use to drive profits, gain new customers, create new products, or otherwise improve business. Essentially, what is the intelligence it has with respect to the products that it is into, or what is the information it has gathered over the time because of which it is able to gain, drive profits, gain new customers, create new products. Let's take example of a medical organization, or let's take a pharma organization. Okay, what is this intellectual capital? Its intellectual capital is the formula it has for a certain medicine that it has developed over the time. Let us understand a pharma organization A. Okay, pharma organization A, which has built medicines for diabetes. If it has made medicines for diabetes, it has got a certain formula that it has built over the time for that medicine. This is the capital of that company. It's an intellectual capital which is very much the organization's capital, because it is being developed by years of research by the R&D team of its organization. Through this, because it has specialized in that area, it is driving profits. Let's assume this organization A in the pharma area is number one in diabetes medicines. The profit of that organization are driven because it has got this medicine and the formula for this medicine, right? Through that, it is also gaining new customers. It is continuously enhancing its formula and making newer products, and it is working on its business. That's the intellectual capital this pharma organization has, right? So it is also there are people in the R&D who have, you know, given their knowledge, who have given their skills, who have given their qualifications, their learnings to develop that medicine. So that's one form of intellectual capital that organization has, right? And also in this whole process, while it was developing that medicine, it's the knowledge of the employees, the skills that the employees bought, where the employees understood that as a pharma organization, we have to develop this medicine, and hence this is going to be a game changer, and let's look at this as our main business strength. They develop expertise in making that medicine, okay? And then all the related processes, information, whatever the company required to make that whole process successful, and through it, it became competitive in that space of building diabetic medicines, gave the competitive advantage to that organization. All that is a part of the intellectual capital of the company. So these intangible resources associate with people, which together with tangible resources, money, physical asset, comprise the market or the total value of the business. That's how the overall business, through these people, through their practices, through their processes, through their systems, through the overall management of the way they have got this medicine in the market, with the money they have infused, with the infrastructure they have used, is all the capital that they have built over the time to increase the value of their business. Okay, I hope you have understood the example well. There are also intangible resources which can be seen in this whole process. So what are the intangible resources? Here, the financial and physical assets that can contribute to the value generating processes of a firm and are under its control. Some of the subsets of intellectual capital include human capital, information capital, brand awareness, and instructional capital. Okay, so let's get into detail to understand this better. So human capital, definitely we understood what it is. Information, we understood when we talked about the medicine a lot, what kind of information this organization had. Now, this particular brand, whichever was this medicine, there is a certain awareness about that brand in the market, right? That's also capital for the company, because if this brand, people identify an organization with a brand. So if I know a medicine is from Cipla, I would probably take it up faster, because Cipla is known to me as an organization, or Lupin is an organization that I know. Sorry for quoting some names of organizations, but it's important to help you understand that certain pharma organizations have registered themselves in the minds of its customers, and that's why people would go and buy medicines if they are suggested for those particular brands, right? So that even the brand is part of the intangible resource that the organization has, right? Next is, let us look at what is the social capital, also called relationship capital. It consists of the knowledge that the organization has derived from relation within and outside the organization. Okay, it's more about how the organization has gathered information while it has networked with other organization. There is an industry body collective. So let me, I think a good example is to give from HR itself. I am a part of a lot of HR groups in the industry. And while I go out and meet my colleagues in other industry who follow certain HR related practices in an organization, there are forums where we meet and we share this information with each other. So when I hear about other HR best practices, how organizations are getting evolved, what are the new people related practices that they are putting in place, what are the new policies, employee friendly policies they are putting in place, what are the benefits they are giving to their people, I use this knowledge, information to also define certain practices in my organization as well. That is how I'm gathering social intelligence. I am going out of my organization and trying to understand what's happening in the industry and collecting information through my relationships. So that's the social capital that I am developing. So any intellectual capital develops and changes over time, and significant part is played in these processes by people who are acting together. Okay, some examples of social capital include relationships, fame, social status, professional network. I was talking about professional network, right? The professional network for me is my social capital or my social status, because I have a certain position in my organization. When I'm talking to other people who are at other positions in other organization, they do give me information because of a certain set of status that I have, and then how I have cultivated and developed these relationships over the time. And lastly, of course, the organizational capital. Organization capital is the knowledge possessed by an organization that is probably stored in its manuals, in its databases. It is also called structural capital. Okay, what it clearly conveys is that how much of knowledge and information an organization actually owns. So if we come to our first example of the pharma organization, now its R&D department knows what is the formula and how many molecules it has used from a certain element to make a certain medicine. So that's very it's a very crude example, but it's an easy example to understand that based on the formula that they have derived over the time, that's the knowledge that organization has. Now this knowledge is, it depends whether it would want to make it public or not. But well, many such formulas are available in the market as well. That's how you would use your social capital, but there would be certain set of processes that organization would have followed to be able to store information related to the formula that they have got. There would be certain manuals on how they go about doing their R&D work as well. There would be certain set of hiring processes they might be following to get the best people inside the system so that they are best out in the market. So systems and processes can be at all levels, but it is overall knowledge that an organization processes, which is the organization ka capital. Okay, so structural capital also consists of non-physical infrastructure, processes, databases. As we show, there are certain methods that the company follows to do certain things. There are certain procedures it would follow. It would say I will not go out of this procedure. As this organization, this is a procedure we follow. And let's take example, when I also talk about procedures, security related procedures, there are certain organization, let's take example of BARC, which is our Bhabha Atomic Research Center. They would have a certain security related protocol that they would follow, and they would not make any amendment in that process of following their security procedures, because they have learned over the time how to keep their plant safe. Any chemical plant for that matter would have certain set of procedures it would follow so that it becomes it becomes vital to the safety of their employees as well as people outside that organization. So many of these are developed over the time. Routines are developed, methods are developed over time, procedures are developed over the time, and these are all embedded in the organization processes. So this is actually the structural capital which is owned by an organization, and it continues to be a part of the organization. Even after people leave, the processes will continue, methods will continue, routines will continue, right? So these are some of the factors that we spoke in terms of human capital. We spoke about two types, general and specific. We spoke about intellectual capital, structural capital, social capital, organization capital, process capital, innovation capital. When we say also innovation, so what do we mean by innovation capital? Innovation is any new innovation that the organization has made. It is something that is its proprietary information. It is the way it has developed its own. That organization will be distinguished from the market or will be different from the market because of its innovative processes, okay, or something that it has done differently. Or it would have certain set of processes. Let's take process as an example. Certain organization would have their processes so streamlined, they would be so strong that nothing would fall out of the place because the processes are very strongly laid out. So very large organizations, for that matter, who have a huge employee capital, I would say employee base or employee count, would have their processes very, very strongly defined, because the entire organization has to work in a very structured way, in a systematic way, in a disciplined way, and their processes have to be strongly defined. Smaller organizations might have lesser processes, but larger organizations are more process dependent. They are person independent, but they are process dependent. So how they have followed their processes over the years so that they work like a clockwork engine is their capital, is that organization capital, right? I hope you have understood this a little more clear. Capital is anything that is of value to you. So process is of value to you. Intellectual knowledge in the organization is value to you. Your relationships are of value to you. Innovations are of value to you. So anything that adds value to you is in a way called capital for capital. Not everything can be a part of your balance sheet or financial sheet financials, but yes, it brings a different set of value because of which your organization succeeds or moves ahead. So people contribute an added value to any organization. People and individuals are assets, and organization would want to continue to invest in their people so that returns happen. Like when we give them training, when we give them coaching, when we mentor our people, we are building our human capital so that effectively the human capital can give back to the organization's success. Okay, it also helps build a competitive advantage for the organization. If the human resource pool is very, very strong, or the competitor cannot build the human beings that a certain cannot build strength or capability, if your processes in terms of training your people are very strong, building skills of your people are very strong. So in this context, let me give you an example. If there is an organization which has certain set of people with certain set of skills, and it has a customer who requires people with those skills, the organization has an advantage of getting that project because it has got people with those skills. Let me add an example of my organization, where we had a set of people who had a rare technical skill called Ruby on Rails. Not many people had this skill, Ruby on Rails. And when we pitched to our client for a project on that area, we got the project because our competitor did not have people with those skills. So that's an advantage of having the right set of skills, and you would probably call that as a human capital advantage. So distinctly, the skills, the knowledge, the wisdom, the qualification are your human capital advantage, while process advantage is more of how your human processes are in place and how are they aiding to your overall human capital advantage. Human capital advantage would eventually result in employing people which will give you a competitive edge with their skills, which are tacit in nature, definitely. Okay, so organizations continuously focus on building this advantage towards improvising their overall capabilities as well as their profits and revenues. So human process advantage follows from the establishment of difficult to imitate, highly evolved processes within the firm, such as cross-departmental cooperation and executive development. For example, a certain organization might build its human processes, very strong human processes, and which are difficult to imitate. You know, other organizations cannot build processes that strong. How two departments work with each other, how there are no gaps when they are working with each other, how information flows from one department to another department, how approvals are happening for various projects that are coming, what is the approval mechanism, what is an escalation mechanism. there are many such human related processes which enable organizations to work seamlessly and work fast also to be able to deliver what is expected of them. So say if a very large organizations would have a lot of processes so that there is no gap in the way things get done there. So the process advantage, larger organizations definitely that I know of have a strong process advantage, while small organizations over the time which build their process advantage as they grow. So what are human capital, what are the questions related to a human capital? What do you mean by really human capital? What are the questions that come to our mind? So what are the key performance drivers that will create a value, okay? As an organization, what should I do so that people in my organization are performing to their level best? What skills do I have? What skills do I need now, and what are the skills that I need to develop for my future, okay? What kind of people am I going to attract, develop, and retain so that my skills continue to give me value. My skills in the sense, my organization skills continue to give me value for what I want to deliver to my customers or to my clients. How can I have a culture or an environment where individual learning happens, more and more individual learning happens, needs of my employees are met? How can I create more knowledge within the organization, capture the knowledge, record and use this knowledge more effectively? How can we provide for both the explicit and tacit knowledge created in our organization, captured and recorded, used effectively? We spoke of that. What are the different processes because of which, if when an environment, when an organization is really growing very fast, it is speeding, it is moving at a high pace to really manage with its competitors or go ahead with its competitors. At that speed itself, are my processes, human processes also moving, my newer processes are also moving. Am I ahead of the competition or behind the competition? And how am I different from my competition because of, through my people, that is my human capital, how am I different? What have I done so that this competition in some way or the other is challenged, or I understand where I stand? Because if you are not at the forefront or you are not in the front, you are not a front runner, competition really catches up with you very fast. So I have to think of various things that I can do to be more effective in terms of managing my human capital. So if I am able to get answers to these questions and create that advantage in terms of my human capital as well as my human processes, then it is an advantage for me as an organization. Is that clear? I hope that's clear. So a lot of economies and nations and companies measure their human capital index, okay? It is how well can I measure the ability of my people to perform, and how can my people create value for my stakeholders or value for my shareholders through their knowledge and expertise. So it is measure of how effective is my human resource management. At a broader level, HCI measures a country's ability to maximize and leverage the human capital endowment. So what do we mean by this? If you take, all of us know, right, India is going to be the youngest nation in the world, and it is the young a lot of other economies or a lot of other countries have an aging population. It means as a country we have advantage of having a highly strong younger population, which can give us advantage in terms of growing our economy. So as a nation or as a country or as a government, what are we doing to utilize our this younger population? What kind of opportunities are we creating for this younger population? How many employment opportunities are getting generated? All these are very important questions for our government to seek answer, and I'm sure they're doing that to a certain extent. But well, that's a continuous and similar thing. Similar is for any organization. What kind of people do I have? What kind of skills do they have? What kind of knowledge do they have? How do I use this knowledge and these skills to, you know, advance my organization further? What kind of learning opportunities I have to create? You know, so all this is very important for any organization to look at from the outcome it wants it to finally produce. So it's more, so HCI is more of an international metric. It benchmarks key components of human capital across the economies. So we did speak about that. There's a measure of skills, education, capacity, and attributes of labor which influence productive capacity, and what is the earning potential of any what is the capacity of an individual and an individual to produce, how much he can earn in turn, how much can he give to the organization, and how much an organization can give to the society in general, how does it overall contribute to the nation. So what are some of the factors that determine a human capital? What are the skills and qualification? I think extremely basic, extremely important. What levels of education? Just go and check what are the education levels in our country, in certain states. Find out which states are most educated. How is the progress of these states based on their education levels? Do read about it. I'm sure it's a very interesting read. The work experience people bring to work, their overall skills, soft skills, communication skills, interpersonal skills, the level of knowledge and intelligence that they bring to their job, especially emotional intelligence, the stability that they have, emotional stability they have, the ability to withstand pressure, handle challenges, look at different situations, be able to take decisions, are some of the factors which also cloud the way people work. Okay, now overall judgment, can they make the right judgment? Are do they have the sanity to take the right judgment at the right time? What is their overall personality? They're hard working, lazy, they love working with other people, are committed, dedicated. What kind of habits people have? What kind of personalities they are? Are they strong personality? Are they aggressive? Are they assertive? How many people are able to think out of the box? Are they creative? Can they bring up new practices? Can they evolve with the organization? Also, what do they bring in terms of personal capacities? Like, you know, if you have a celebrity, many of our celebrities are also part of certain organizations. And our army gives honorary badges to some of our sportsmen, because, you know, they want the sportsmen to represent the army. Similarly, certain products are endorsed by certain celebrities so that the product selling happens high. And geographically, where are you located? You know, based on the geography, you have a certain, you are used to working in a certain environment, in a certain kind of a setup, which will eventually determine how you perform at your workspace, right?